God.
All right. We're in?
You're in.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. Ryan's in the back. And we are ready to go. We want to say welcome to our Soldier for Christ family.
Yes.
A Soldier for Christ family all over, wherever they are, whatever country you're in. Are we ready?
We are.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I don't know if Pastor Ben was able to mail it out. If you're watching this and you don't have this copy, email me and I will email you a copy of it so that you can have a copy of this and watch it over so that you can understand. Because what I'm going to be doing tonight is really teaching how close we are to the rapture, okay? Because of listening to this guy, and he's telling me, you know, that once I'm saved, that, you know, that I shouldn't have to worry about my salvation anymore. And it seems like you're living in fear, Pastor Sanger, and trying to, you know, hide in corners and do stuff behind God's back. So I'm not living in fear. I'm living in joy and plenty of it. So if you're living in fear, maybe it's because you want to do some things that you shouldn't be doing. And, you know, but no, I don't live in fear. Yeah, I mean, I know. But, you know, that I know when people are starting to listen to these once saved, always saved doctrines, because they start saying, oh, when Pastor Sandy speaks, it makes message tonight. The message tonight is explaining to you the close coming and the rapture. But many of us don't understand the whole process. So it's like we don't understand what God's doing. We don't understand the feast days. We don't understand the harvest seasons. We don't understand what God's doing. And until you understand what God is doing, it's going to be hard for you to see how close we are. You understand? Because we are like close. Okay, I'm talking about we are close, because the second month and the 17th day is IR 17th. That's May 11th. And Pentecost is in Pentecost, he could stay there, and Pentecost is May 29th. So we are like really close, and the 120th year starts March 26th. So we're really close. We're in the 100, we're about to be in the 120th year, and we're about to be in the Pentecost and springtime of that Pentecost year. So I'm praying for people. I hope that people listen and understand, because, you know, you can only preach for so long. I listened to a message today, a guy named Marty. I sent you that, his testimony. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'll have to talk about that tomorrow. Right? Yeah, the cop. Yeah. And he died, and the Lord came to him and said, my people don't believe
it. Three times.
That I'm coming. And said it to him three times. My church don't believe that I'm coming. And when he explained it to him, he said that, like, the third time, it says they don't believe. If they did believe, they wouldn't live the way they do. And that's my whole thing. If you knew that Jesus was coming, you would not live the way that you live. You know what I mean? And so we just say repent. You want to say, well, you're living in fear, Pastor Sandy. You know, I'm living in joy because I'm in relationship with God. Okay, so what we're going to explain here is called Jesus, the first fruit of three harvests. Okay. The first thing you need to know is that we're going to have to do a lot of teaching. You guys ready to be taught?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have your paper with you? Okay, let's just jump into the first scripture, because if we jump into the first scripture, that'll get us moving, and then we can keep going from there, okay? So, the first scripture is Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10. And it says, speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, come into the land which I gave you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. Then ye shall bring a sheaf of first fruit of the harvest unto the priest. Now, so they're going to go into the land, and he says, harvest the land, but bring the first fruit of your harvest to the priest, okay? Now, the first fruit of the harvest is giving like your first or giving your best to God. So they're not allowed to harvest the rest of the field until when? After they bring the first fruit to God, okay? Once they bring the first fruit to God, now they're allowed to go and harvest the rest of the field. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So he tells them to make sure when they go in to make sure they bring. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 23, verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of them that sleep. Now, do you understand why he's calling Christ the first fruit?
Yeah.
Because they plant their seed into the ground, right? And then the first harvest that comes out of the ground belongs to the priest. Jesus is that seed that came. When he was buried into the ground, on the third day, he resurrected out of the ground and he became our first fruit. How is Jesus our first fruit? Jesus is the first person to ever resurrect from the grave.
Yes.
By him doing that proves that eternal life can be had.
Yes.
If Jesus doesn't get up, then we're all in trouble. But since Jesus resurrected, now since he's the first fruit, what does that mean for the rest of the world? It means that now God can continue harvesting.
Yes.
Because you can't harvest until the first fruit is turned in. So now when Jesus resurrects, now God says, now it's time to resurrect the rest of the world.
Yes.
Okay? Now let's keep reading here. Let's go to the next scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, after that, they that are Christ at his coming. Now, listen what it says here. It says every resurrection has to happen in its own order. OK, so like you harvest a field during the year, you can't harvest the barley, the wheat and the fruit all at the same time. Everything God is saying is going to be in its own order. OK.
Yeah.
So as these things, as the season comes for that harvest, they're going to go out and they're going to take that harvest. Then when the that harvest season is over, then they're going to wait for the wheat harvest. Then they're going to harvest that harvest. Now the fruit's not going to be ready, so then they're going to wait for the fruit harvest. Then they're going to go out and harvest the fruit harvest, okay? So God has three harvest seasons, and he's harvesting the world, okay? Now, Deuteronomy 16:16 says this, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord, thy God, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. They shall not appear before me empty-handed. Now, why does he say they can't appear to him empty-handed? Because these are harvest seasons. Unleavened, at the time of unleavened bread, it's going to be a harvest season. At the time of the Feast of Weeks, what else is the Feast of Weeks called? Pentecost.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? The Feast of Weeks is Pentecost. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is spring. The Feast of Tabernacles is the fall. Now he says, when you come, don't come empty-handed. What do they have to bring? Their first fruit of their harvest, they have to bring it, okay? So everyone is going to be harvesting the land at the proper time. But God says, every male must appear before me three times a year. Why? Because there's three harvests a year, and I want your first fruit, Okay? So now, as they come at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, let's go to the board real fast, Pastor Ben. Okay. Passover happened here on the 14th of Nisan. The day after the Sabbath was Yom Rishon, or Sunday morning, which Jesus rose from the grave. So he was the first fruit. Now, after he raises from the grave, now he says, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, every male has to be there and give the first fruit of their harvest. 50 days after first fruit, or counting first fruit, to Pentecost is 50 days. So this whole process takes 50 days, okay? And this is in Nisan. Now, how long do you have to wait to after first fruit? So he's in the grave on the 14th of Nisan. He resurrects on the 17th of Nisan. You count 50 days after that. And so this whole process is about 53 days, okay? Now, let's stick to this. Now, this is in Nisan, so this is still going to be in the springtime. You understand? So the first harvest of the year is what? Barley. The first harvest of the year is going to be barley. So they're going to harvest the barley first. So now remember, we're harvesting the field and grain and wheat and fruit. God is harvesting souls, which he considered to be the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, and the fruit harvest, okay? So God is going to have three harvests in the world. You understand?
Yes.
Okay, let's continue on. Now watch this. We're reading about Ruth here. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 23, it says, she kept fast by the maiden of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. What happened with Ruth after the wheat harvest? She got married. Who did she get married to? Boaz, a Jewish kinsman redeemer. But and is she Jewish? No, she's a Gentile. But she got married when? At the end of the wheat harvest. So the wheat harvest produced the marriage between a Gentile bride and Christ, okay? Or Boaz at the time. So as you're looking for the wedding of the bride, you're not going to be looking into the fall or the winter seasons. You're going to be looking into the early summer, Pentecost, or you're going to be looking at spring to Pentecost, depending on when the wheat is available. You understand?
Yes.
But you're not going to look for a barley or a wheat harvest in the fall, okay? Let's continue. Now, the Bible is based on the harvest of the earth. The first fruit of that harvest is Jesus, the resurrection of souls from the dead receiving life, okay? The harvest will happen in three separate harvests, barley, wheat, and fruit. Or we could say the saints, okay, from the law, which is the Old Testament saints, the saints from the church, which is us, the saints from tabernacles, which would be in the seventh month or in the fall, in the tribulation, or the tribulation saints. So those are the three harvests. Acts chapter 24, verse 15, it says, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. We see here that there will be a resurrection of those who have been justified and those who have not been justified. The conclusion here is three harvest seasons, and two different types of resurrection: the resurrection of the living and the resurrection of the dead. Okay, so how many types of resurrections are there?
Two.
There's only two type of resurrection. When you get resurrected, you either being resurrected to life or you're being resurrected for death. Okay? But there will be two types of resurrection. If you're unjust, don't think you're going to Hades and you're just going to stay there. You still got to come up for your judgment day. And you will stand before the white throne and then be thrown into the lake of fire. So understand that there are two types of harvests, okay? The resurrection of the living and the resurrection of the dead. What's the first resurrection? The resurrection of the living. Because the resurrection of the living takes place first, and then after, God resurrects the dead and brings them up to the white throne judgment, okay? So the resurrection of the living has to happen first, okay? And all of the living, okay? Because if you read Revelation chapter 20, you'll see that the last resurrection happens and then the dead don't get resurrected until at the end, okay? Now, I want you guys to understand this. Now, so let's look at the first resurrection, okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 27, or look at your paper. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 through 53. And it says here, Jesus, when he had cried out in a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks split. Okay? And it says, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who slept arose. Is that a resurrection?
Yeah.
So many of the saints, the Old Testament saints, those who were righteous, died righteous, were asleep in the grave. It says they resurrected. They came to life. Watch this. They came out of the grave after his resurrection. Why after Christ?
Because he's the first fruit.
The first fruit has to be presented first. So that means the first fruit went, and now on unleavened, we're going to have a harvest. You see there? So now we're about to have a harvest. It says, and it says, and they came out of the grave after his resurrection, after Jesus' resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. This was the barley harvest of the justified.
Yes.
They received life. It doesn't say they went into the physical city. They went into the holy city.
Yes.
And were seen amongst many.
Yes.
Okay? Now, they're resurrected. They are Old Testament saints who had died, who had lived righteous lives, who were waiting in paradise, waiting for Jesus to die because the door to the kingdom of God had not been opened yet, because no first fruit had come out of the ground yet.
Yeah.
So after Jesus died and resurrected, now it's their turn. So Jesus resurrected, and now Jesus takes them and he resurrects them and takes them to the kingdom of God. And that's the first harvest of the world.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
This has always been about harvesting souls for God. That's the word bereshit. When it says bereshit, in the beginning, the word reshit means first fruit. So God was writing about the first fruit in the first verse of the Bible. And how can you have a first fruit and you haven't made a tree? So God was always planning, I'm going to resurrect souls. I'm going to harvest souls out of the earth. Okay? So let's continue here. Now, we see now that the barley harvest has been resurrected, okay? That means one harvest has gone. There are three harvests that need to be taken out of the earth. Here we go. Chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. This is John talking, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the barn. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The wheat harvest belongs to who? Jesus. John is making this point. He says his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will gather his wheat into the barn. So Jesus is coming for what? The next harvest.
Yes.
That's us, okay? Because he's not going to harvest fruit until the last harvest. You understand?
Yes.
Let's read Matthew chapter 13, verse 25 on our page. And it says, but while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, did thou sow good seed in the field? From whence came these tares? And he said unto them, the enemy has done this. What has the enemy done? He got fake Christians sitting in the same seats with real Christians. He got fake pastors preaching out of some of the same pulpits as real pastors.
Yes.
And the guy wants to know, didn't you plant good Christians? And Jesus says, yes, but the enemy has done this. But it's okay, because God has a plan, right?
Uh-huh.
Then he says, the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you might uproot also the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the first, the tares, and bind them in a bundle to burn them. But gather the what? The wheat into my barn. Second scripture saying that Jesus is coming to gather the wheat. Why does he have to send these professionals to gather the harvest? Because they know how to distinguish between what's real and what's fake.
Yes.
Okay? Real wheat has weight to it.
Yes.
Tares grow like nothing. He gave me some tares. Tares, they grow and it looks like they have substance in it, but they're hollow. Wheat, after it gets so much weight in it, starts to bow down. So the professional harvesters know that the wheat are usually the ones that are bent over. But they don't take that. They take it in front of a winnowing fan and they throw it up, because the winnowing fan will blow the tares away and the wheat will fall to the ground. You understand? So they know how to harvest.
Yes.
So this is what, now both times he's talking about Jesus coming for what? The wheat harvest.
Yes.
He doesn't say anything about the barley harvest. You know why? The barley's gone. You understand?
Yes.
The barley is going to go right after the resurrection. The barley's going to leave after the resurrection. But those that belong to Christ are the wheat harvest. Okay?
Amen.
So the first harvest is gone. We have established that the wheat harvest is next, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, oh my goodness. Let me see if I need to go back to that. Lord, give me some direction. Okay, let's do this. Let's go to this page. See, I'm on a different page than you. But let's go to Thessalonians. You guys, the next scripture is Thessalonians. And it says, here comes the second harvest. The second harvest is this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in who? In Christ Jesus will God bring with him. So when you die in Christ, where do you go? With Christ, okay? Do you have your resurrected body yet? No, because your harvest season hasn't come. Yeah. So we have our parents, my parents are in, or my mom is in a spiritual body in heaven, because in heaven there are spiritual bodies and there are resurrected bodies, okay? Understand that. The saints that are in heaven are in spiritual bodies, but they're still waiting for their resurrected bodies, okay? Like us, we're waiting for our resurrected bodies, but we might still be walking and living when the harvest happens. Is God going to wait till we die so he can harvest us?
No.
That's the big problem that earth has right now. Uh-huh. God's not going to wait till you die to harvest. When the harvest comes, he's going to resurrect the dead, and he's going to give them their resurrected bodies. And then if you're still walking around, you're going to be snatched up, caught up in the air to meet with them in the air. And that's what this scripture is talking about. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Christ, Jesus will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Jesus told them this, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Yes.
That's the beginning of your eternity.
Yes.
The cloud party, the cloud party is the beginning of your eternity.
Yes.
Okay? Now, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, the second harvest will be complete at the rapture and resurrection. That will happen when Jesus comes down to the cloud to receive us up, to receive up his church, which is the bride. Okay?
Yes.
So now we see that will be the wheat harvest, because that will be the second harvest of the season. You understand? Now we have a problem. Because if the church is gone and all the saints have been resurrected that belong to Christ, who's left in the earth? The unrighteous, the backsliders, the lukewarm, those who didn't keep their garments with them, and the Jewish people and evil people, right? That's a lot of people still on earth. God says, okay, look, you still have a chance. I'm coming back for a fruit harvest, okay? The fruit harvest is really the nation of Israel. But if you can keep your confession of Jesus Christ during the tribulation and not take the mark, now this is gonna take a lot, because we like to eat. I don't know, see, that's why I live so righteous. Because I know during our tribulation, you tell me I can't eat.
Yeah.
You're like, take the mark, man, burger. No, I believe in Jesus. Put cheese on it. I believe in Jesus. I'm telling you, man. Tribulation is going to be no joke.
No joke.
Okay? So you can't eat nothing. You can't purchase nothing. You can't buy nothing unless you take the mark.
Yeah.
And you have to make the decision that you're not going to take the mark.
Yeah.
And that you're going to confess Jesus. Even as they march you in a line under a guillotine. And you know what? They're going to make you watch the everybody's head come off. And by the time, because they're hoping that everybody in that line says, I changed my mind.
Yep.
I'll take the burger in my head, right? I'll keep my head and I'll take the burger. Because something's got to make you change your mind,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But you're in the middle of the tribulation because, see, you could have left with the church. But Jesus had already promised that the lukewarm he would spit out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And those that have no oil in their lamp, the door would get shut and while they're off trying to get themselves together, right? And so there's a group of people that will not go. You understand?
Right.
So, but you can do it now. That's why all this, oh, Pastor Sandy, you're living in fear. No, I'm not. I'm living in obedience and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
This is the best life, okay?
Amen.
Now we've got a problem. We've got this fruit harvest that's left. Now, we're going to prove that the Israel is a fruit harvest, okay? You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 5. I'm just going to read the first 7 verses so that you can understand that. It's not on your page. We'll get back to your page in a second. It says here, I will, for the one I love, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fruitful hill. He dug it out and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. He looked for a crop of good grapes, but yielded only bad fruit. Now, you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I look for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, its protection, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its walls and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated. Briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the cloud not to rain on it. All those years, Israel didn't have no rain. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Yeah.
So God is telling you that the fruit harvest, the vines, the grapes, he's saying, this is Israel. So we know that another harvest is coming because we've already established that Jesus is going to come for the wheat harvest. And now we know that there's a last harvest that's going to come, and that's going to be the fruit harvest. Okay?
Amen.
So now let's go. Micah chapter 1 and 2. You guys there?
Yeah.
It says, the harvest is the vine of grapes and figs that the Lord so dearly wants. It says, woe unto me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruit. Summer fruit is early fruit.
Mm-hmm.
As the grapes gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit. The faithful men have vanished from the earth. That means the rapture has happened.
Yes.
And he's looking for his vineyard now. The faithful men have perished. Well, we'll use the Hebrew word. The faithful men have avad from the earth, which means vanished from the earth. That's the rapture. There is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. Now, at the end of the tribulation will be the last harvest. You understand? So, once we're gone, we got two groups of people who have resurrected up to heaven. And what's that resurrection called? Is that the resurrection of the just or the unjust? That's the resurrection of the just. So the resurrection of the just is happening. In the tribulation, we have one more resurrection of who? The just. Okay? So Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. And I saw thrones that and they that seated on them. And judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or in their hand. They all, it says, they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Do you hear that? Yeah. Listen, those who didn't take the mark and died in Christ. And when Israel is taken up, because Israel's 144,000 is taken up, plus those who did not take the mark, it says they all came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That is the fruit harvest, okay? There will not be another resurrection until 1,000 years have passed. So if someone is in Hades, they got at least 1,000 years before they go to trial. You understand? Mercy. Now, these are those that did not take the mark. They did not take the mark on their hands, and they got resurrected. I wanted to make one point. This is the point I'm trying to make. It says this is the first resurrection. Now, is this the first resurrection? Talk to me.
Yes, he's counting all three as one.
Right. Now, this only reason he says this is the first resurrection is because the Holy Spirit knows there's only two types. Right. He knows that the barley is already gone, and that was one resurrection. He'll know that the church is already gone, and that's two resurrections. Now the fruit harvest and the tribulation saints have gone, and now he says, this is the first resurrection, done.
Part of the first.
That's all part of the resurrection of the just.
Yes.
And then he says, the rest of the dead will not be resurrected till the 1,000 years are over. And then that will be the resurrection of what? The unjust.
Yes.
Okay? So God is harvesting the world. This is okay.
Amen.
Because I hear so much craziness that the Lord told me, like, take time and explain to these people what I'm doing, because I'm harvesting the world. The wheat harvest has to go. You understand?
Yeah.
You can't get to the fruit harvest till you get to after you harvest the wheat harvest. Yeah. Do you understand?
Amen.
Now, where are we at? Okay. Okay. When it says here, okay, wait, this is the first resurrection. We already know that the first resurrection happened when? Chapter 27, verse 50, right? And then Acts says, go to where it says Acts 15, and it says, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allowed, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Okay, we already read that. Now in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 12, it says, then I saw, watch the second resurrection. Then I saw This is after 1,000 years. The great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Who are the dead? The unjust, right? Small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were done, which were written in the book. This will complete the resurrection. Do you understand?
Yes.
Three for life, one for death. You understand?
Yes.
Three resurrections is what?
One.
Is that the way God does things?
Yes.
So three resurrections of the just equals one resurrection, the resurrection of the just. The one at the end is the resurrection of the unjust. Okay. Now we've got to get into something that is much needed. Okay. Can we go back to the board? Okay. Now, watch this. The church is not looking to fulfill the feast days. We already fulfilled the feast days, but we haven't fulfilled the harvest. Remember, God's doing two things. He's fulfilling the prophecy of the feast days, and he's fulfilling the prophecy of the harvest. Okay? We know that Jesus came on Passover. He died as a lamb. We know that he resurrected. Okay? We know that they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 50 days later, Pentecost came, and God did what? He became engaged to the church. He gave you a ring. The Holy Spirit is yours, he says, as a kind of a down payment that he's coming back, right?
Yes.
So he gave us a ring on Pentecost. Has that wedding happened yet?
Not yet.
No. Okay? So we're waiting on what? The wheat harvest will complete the Pentecost. You understand? The wheat harvest will complete the Pentecost, and we'll get to that. Now, the fall feasts have to be also fulfilled because there are seven feast days. There is Rosh Hashanah. What happens 10 days after Rosh Hashanah? Yom Kippur. You know what these 10 days are called?
10 days of
the awe. Days of awe. This is when God pours out his wrath in the bowl wraths upon the earth for those 10 days. Okay? These are called the days of awe. This is called the day of judgment. The righteous go up. Who's going up? Those who are confessing Jesus Christ during the tribulation. They go up. The 144,000 go up as kind of the scripture says, they're kind of a first fruit offering.
Yes.
And then those who are confessing Jesus Christ in the tribulation, they go up in a rapture on Rosh Hashanah.
Mm.
10 days later, Jesus returns on Yom Kippur. And whoever didn't go up then, he comes back on Yom Kippur. He lands on the earth, and 5 days after Yom Kippur, they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, before the Feast of Tabernacles, we're having the separation of the sheep and the goats. We're having the resurrection of all saints that died during the tribulation, of the righteous people that died. They're getting their resurrected bodies. So you're having this resurrection and rapture at the tribulation. People say the rapture is at the end of the tribulation. There is a rapture at the end of the tribulation. It's not the church.
Amen.
It's the tribulation saints that get resurrected at. Now, we have to get to this so you'll be able to understand. How much time I have, Pastor Ben?
15 minutes.
Okay. We can get to some of this, and then we'll probably have to finish tomorrow. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, So now we're going to look at Revelation chapter 14, the fruit harvest. You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. Corinthians. Let's just go to Revelation. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go to Book of Revelation, chapter 14. Because that'll be the easier way to do it. You in Revelation chapter 14? Okay. Now, I want us to go to the 14th. Well, we might need to talk about the fact that the 144,000 go up first. Okay? Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard the sound from heaven like the roar and the rushing water, and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of a harpist playing a harp. And they sang a new song before the throne." Who? The 144,000. "And before the living creatures and the dead and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, and they kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as a first fruit to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless." So they're the first fruit of what? The fruit harvest. Okay, now watch this. Let's go to verse 14. It says, "I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand." You see that? On our cloud, he never had a crown on his head, okay? And in ours, it said he had a winnowing fan for his wheat harvest. Now he has a sickle, and now he's saying, okay. So it says, "With a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand, then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, 'Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested." You hear that?
Yes.
With what? Fruit. How do we know fruit? Okay, let's continue. It says in verse 17, "Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel had charge of the fire and came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, 'Take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of what? Grapes. From the earth, because its grapes are ripe.'" Are grapes in the spring? No. Are grapes in the summer? No. Grapes are in the fall, okay? So he said, "The clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because the grapes are ripe. The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered the grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside of the city, and the blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as a horse's bridle at a distance of 16 stadia, which whatever stadia is, but they say it's about from here to Texas.
Wow.
Okay? Now.
Wow.
So you have this last harvest go up.
Okay.
Now, Jesus came down to a cloud with a crown on his head, and he reaped, and the earth was harvested. And the fruit harvest went up to heaven with the 144,000. You see that? Now, he says, now that I got all the righteous in heaven, he says, now the judgment needs to be sent. You go and gather the rest of those grapes and put them in the wine press, that and the blood is going to come out of it up to the horse's bridle for 16 thaddeus or whatever, right? So this judgment is coming on, but he still calls them a fruit harvest. Understand? Just like the tares were being destroyed during the wheat harvest, there's still unrighteous fruit during the fruit harvest. Understand? Now, the thing we need to understand. 3 feet. 13. Okay. Now watch this. Watch this, you guys. Go down. The bound, you can see it says 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 48 through 50. Do you guys see that? Yeah. Okay, now watch this. Okay. Okay. Now, chapter 15, verse 48 to 50 is not a church rapture. This is what I want you to know. A Rosh Hashanah rapture has a sequence. There is 100 trumpets that are blown. Okay? 99 of them are blown first. They're blown in sequences. You get to the 99th, and then the last trumpet is the 100th trumpet. It's called the great trumpet, okay? The trumpet gadol, right? The shofar gadol. And they blow that trumpet, and that's called the last trumpet. At the last trumpet, then there's going to be a rapture and resurrection. When? At the last trump. But not the church resurrection and rapture, the end times, the tribulation, when he's gathering up the fruit harvest, okay? So it says here, it is the last rapture at the trumpet blast of the Feast of Trumpet. It says, at the last trump, the fruit harvest will be raptured and resurrected. Let me go to the next. Okay. I'm on assignment, you guys. The Lord told me to make this clear. Okay. It says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, where at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be rise incorruptible. And we will be changed.
Yes.
He's talking about, this is not the church.
Right.
This is, because when you're talking about last trump, see, I used to preach Rosh Hashanah rapture too, until God says, you need to study more. Because either the rapture that happens at the in chapter 14 of Revelation is the same one in Thessalonians, or they're two completely different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's a completely different one in Revelation chapter 14 than Thessalonians chapter 4, then you've got to see the distinction. You've got to be like a lawyer. You got to distinguish between what is what, right?
Yeah.
So this chapter, this is talking about the last trump rapture, which is the Rosh Hashanah rapture that will take place at the end of the tribulation. Now, I wanted to read Revelation chapter 14, verse 18. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
Like 2 minutes.
Ooh, 2 minutes? Okay. We may need to do that tomorrow. But I just wanted to say this. I'll read the chapter, the verse. It says, and another angel came out from, this is Revelation chapter 14, verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried in a loud voice, in a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle. Thrust your sickle, your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe. Listen, this verse is the first clue that Yom Kippur is about to occur, okay? This is the first clue that Yom Kippur is about to occur. You understand? Because the angel is going into the temple and he has charge over the fire. What is the fire for? To create a cloud, because Jesus is about to return to the earth. Listen to Revelation chapter 15, verse 5. It says, and after that I look, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was open. Okay? Now, you have to understand this. It says, Yom Kippur is coming, and this judgment, but God is coming to judge Israel. Now, is not coming to judge Israel. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming to destroy Israel. Right. What's he coming back for?
Rescue.
To destroy the Gentile nations that have come against Israel.
Yeah.
Okay? Because every nation is going to come against Israel. So this is why he puts in Numbers chapter 1, verse 53. But the Levites shall pitch around about the temple of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of testimony. So in Revelation chapter 15, they're opening the tabernacle of testimony. Why? Because this cloud's about to be formed.
Yeah.
And now God is measuring out his people and saying, these people, no harm will come to them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, because Christ is about to return, but he's coming back to rescue Israel, not to destroy them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
We're going to stop there. And we're going to get back started tomorrow. I think I have a couple more pages to go, and we'll talk about some other things that are going on. But what we're going to talk about tomorrow as well are these dates, and then we'll close out.
Yeah.
On March 26th will be the first day of the 120th year, okay? Genesis says that the flood took place on the second month of the 120th year on the 17th day. That would be IR 17th, which is May 11th. Dangerous day, okay? Now, Pentecost will be May 29th of next year, okay? I'm telling next year because I'm not counting it as but of the 120th year. Now listen, this is something I always ask God. Why was Enoch born on Pentecost and Enoch raptured on Pentecost? Do you understand that? Well, who does Enoch represent? The church that leaves before the flood, right?
Right.
He was born on Pentecost. When was the church born?
Pentecost.
And when will the church be raptured?
On Pentecost.
Do you understand? So these are the clues of the dangerous times that we're living in, because God has always been speaking to us about the 120th year, and then he causes the one who was taken up to heaven before the flood ever took place. He was born on Pentecost like the church. He was raptured up into heaven on Pentecost. Okay, so we'll see if that'll be fulfilled. But let's talk more tomorrow, and praise God.
Amen.
All right.
Is that it, Pastor?
That's it.
All right.
For tonight. See you in the morning. Get some sleep. Leila Tov, Hakol Havarim Be'Israel.